There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how you doing on this bloody Tuesday afternoon?
It's bloody Tuesday afternoon.
Bloody Tuesday.
Don't be so rude. Why are you so annoyed about Tuesday, for crying out loud? What's wrong with you?
Oh, it's just been a long day, Pete, a long day, editing alone in a room. Oh. It can be easy to forget, I think, for folks that don't do YouTube, that it's a pretty laborious task sometimes making videos. I don't know why I don't have an editor. Why don't I have an editor, Pete? Yeah. Why haven't I got one?
Because you have control issues. And
it's true.
And it's that kind of chat that really gets the fires burning inside my father, who is an ex-chemical process operator and miner, when I say, oh, I'm tired. I had a busy day editing my podcasts, having Zoom meetings with people, and he tells me exactly where to go.
You don't have to edit your podcast, do you? Not anymore. You're beyond that now.
I mean, I edit quite a lot of podcasts when needed. I think sometimes when you, I think that there is that thing of when you're filming. It's probably similar to YouTube's as well. If you're in a situation where you are recording something yourself or recording a podcast yourself, it's kind of hard. You almost feel like it's going to take you just as long to explain to someone, an editor, how to edit the thing than actually just sitting down and doing it yourself. And that's always the way I feel. And then I'm 3 hours in and I'm like, I wish I'd given this to someone else.
Yeah, I guess I felt the same way. It's hard, isn't it? Definitely a control freak.
And you remember what took place at the YouTube filming events and you know, you going around. You remember bits of footage. You went, oh, I thought that bit went very well. And editors won't get that, because unless you're really circumspect and circumspect about you know, notation and saying exactly what has just been produced, but that kind of gonzo style of the YouTuber doesn't really fit very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I might finally have found an editor or somebody who can help me edit. I don't think I could ever completely hand over the editing of Abroad in Japan, but he would do, like, you know, 80%, then I'd have a look over it, polish it up, or whatever. That could be happening soon. That could be the big event of this year for me, getting an editor. Because I've just spent all day editing a video on Kyoto's beautiful townhouses, Matia townhouses. And it's a good video. I'm pretty happy with it. But it's been a long bloody day spending 12 hours in a room. I was really lucky. Through a mutual friend, I know a guy who owns has been renovating a lot of Matia townhouses. And he sort of let me down to come and film. And I said today, Tuesday, I'll send you the video. So you can just have a look, make sure I haven't slagged you off, you know. It wasn't sponsored or anything, but out of courtesy, I wanted to show them the video before I publish it to the world. And so I had to sort of rush myself. I was a bit stupid, giving myself my own deadline. And I always do that. I always think, oh, I can edit that in an hour, no problem. And then 12 hours later, I'm rocking backwards and forth in a chair,
how
drinking coffee,
happened?
Eating Kit Kats, and a fucking wreck of a man. But
and then when you're finished, you sort of render it out, you put it into, I don't know, Adobe Media Encoder or however you do it, and then you realise that you've misspelt a bit of subtitling, or you've just a clip goes on for a fraction of a frame too long, and you're like, oh, piss off.
You have no idea how often that has happened. Like one letter out of place, and your heart sinks. So if you're watching an Abroad in Japan video, ladies and gentlemen, and you notice something out of place, don't tell me. Don't message me.
No.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
It burns.
That goes double for any podcast I edit.
Well, that's a different matter, isn't it? That's different.
That's a different matter, yeah.
Yeah. But a video came out just yesterday, actually, that Ryotaro posted of our trip to British Hills. It was quite fun. British Hills. I think we talked about it already, so I don't want to go over it again, but yeah.
Yeah, but I hadn't seen it at that point, but I've seen it now.
Oh.
I very much enjoyed the cake and the roast beef you were enjoying in that big palatial dining room. And and just a lot of wood panelled walls. They've gone for like a really old school Mayfair members club. That's what they've gone for that. But I like the idea of like kids going round and sort of having like an English learning experience.
Yeah, apparently. So British Hills is just like it's supposed to be like an educational place. I think it's owned by a university, but you can still go there. I didn't know you could just drop by and go for coffee and crumpets and tea. Fish and chips. If I'd known that earlier, I might have gone. And they sell Tyrrell's crisps, which are really nice. Recommend those. Only place in Japan I think you can get them. But I was really pleasantly surprised. And it turns out quite a few Japanese folks who are like Anglophiles, who love British culture or whatever, they'll always go there. Like every month they'll go up. And I was speaking to a guy that works there. He was like, we have lots of people who are quite annoying that come up and just like hang around for like weeks at a time. And everyone, you either love them or hate them. But
they never leave because they're just maniac Anglophiles. But presumably they're spending money putting on the cream teas and stuff. I mean, there was a clip of you, I presume, applying cream onto a scone. And I'm not having that, mate. There wasn't near enough bloody cream on that scone. I was very upset with you.
I was upset with Ryotaro because he filmed me in one of the scenes towards the second half of the video. We get up in the morning and have breakfast, and it was all the food was good. The fish and chips was like the real thing. The cider was great, but the breakfast was a bit of a letdown. It always is in Japan. It's never that good. And he filmed me for whatever reason, Ryotaro, and I look like I've just come out of a cupboard. Like I look like I've just been locked in a cupboard for 10 weeks, and I've just sort of rolled out.
Yeah, a cupboard full of new romantics.
Just look awful. And then the opening of the video, I'm standing there talking next to a lovely British red postbox, and he just comes over and like kicks me into a pile of snow. And that's the thanks I get for helping him. tossed into a pile of snow. But go and check it out, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't seen it. It's called, I don't know what it's called, but it's got Ryotaro in it. And so it's on Ryotaro's Japan. I think it's called Trip to the UK with Abroad in Japan or something ridiculous. But it's good fun. And easily the most impressive British-style place in Japan. Way more authentic than the one I went to with Joey. Although with the absence of fish flop sandals. We got a story this week from the one and only Alec, who says, "Dear Chris and Pete, I recently discovered the podcast after first tuning back in 2019 when I was planning my first ever trip to Japan. My trip was amazing. Despite only being there for a week, I managed to see Tokyo and Kyoto and have a lot of great experiences. I thought I'd share with you, though, what was the most beautiful experience that I had during my stay. My godfather, who I was travelling with, and I stopped outside. My godfather, who I was travelling with, and I stopped outside a traditional-looking soba noodle restaurant in Tokyo one night to take some pictures. The owner, a stern but inviting old lady, promptly came out and started to convince us to come inside. 'Is it expensive?' we asked. 'Yes, very expensive,' she replied.
I think that's not a good thing.
Yeah, I know, right? I think she meant good quality. She got confused.
Right.
But I said, 'Oh, so it costs a lot of money.' 'No, no, very affordable,' she said. She could tell she was losing us. So she brought out the big guns. 'Tom Hanks once ate here.' She showed us a photo of Tom Hanks eating at a table with a bunch of old Japanese dudes. That sealed the deal. There wasn't much space, so we were sat down at one half of a small table of four. Sharing our table was an old man and a middle-aged man. And I sensed a kind of senpai-kohai relationship as the younger man was in a suit and being very respectful to the older man. The older man, we'll call him Senpai, was instantly intrigued by us and started chatting to me in English. He told me a bit about his life and recommended a cold soup tuber noodle dish, which was great. At one point, my godfather passed me some fish with his chopsticks, a big no-no I learned from a video from abroad in Japan, which made senpai and all the old women working there burst out laughing, except for the owner, who was thoroughly displeased. Anyway, as senpai and his friends left, I saw him hand some money over to a waitress, and with my limited Japanese, I surmised he was paying for our drinks. In true British style, we quickly tried to refuse our out of politeness, so he came back over to the table and told me the concept of ichigo, ichie. He said it roughly meant one meeting, one chance. In that moment, our paths had crossed, and as they may never get crossed again, he wanted to impart me with a small act of kindness. I felt like bursting into tears. That was a moment of sheer purity. We saw, ate, and did lots of amazing things during that short week, but that was my favourite experience. To finish things off, I've got the whole package here. To finish things off, I've written a little haiku. I tried to add a rhyme to keep Chris happy, and the haiku begins, "When Chris and Pete talk, Japan entwines with my mind closer to my dream." Thank you, guys. Alec, PS, Google Tom Hanks or Yaji to see the photo. And I did. And you can see like a photo of Tom Hanks at a soba noodle restaurant. Tom it was Hanks like national news out. In 2016.
I like what a roller coaster this whole thing was. We had Tom Hanks, we had the kindness of a stranger, and then we had a haiku at the end.
That was a tour de force. Wonderful. Tour de force, wasn't it?
It really was. Yeah, getting them all in. Yeah.
The only way it could have been better is if we'd met Tom Hanks in the soba noodle restaurant.
Yeah. Actually, I like the fact that, again, it's like, you know, for Tom Hanks, that would have been a Tuesday. But for that person who owned that restaurant, that's the day that Tom Hanks came. I mean, you could Photoshop anyone in there, couldn't you, really? Benjamin Netanyahu. Jesus. Batman.
This is when Batman visited. You listing off names of people that can be photoshopped into a Japanese restaurant. That should just be the entire podcast. When you brought up Benjamin Netanyahu, it reminded me of that news story we read out 2 or 3 years ago when Shinzo Abe, then Prime Minister, went to Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu served him like a shoe with some food in it. Do you remember that? Vaguely.
They don't like shoes, do they?
Don't like shoes.
That's like when Putin used to get his dog out to scare Angela Merkel.
Oh yeah, I've seen that video.
Pathetic
poor
men.
Old Angela Merkel.
The pathetic men of the world.
I don't know, I think an edible shoe could be a lot of fun under the right circumstances. Yeah.
But, well, I hear that's all the TV programmes are, eating shoes, eating doorknobs. Oh, Japanese television, isn't it crazy? Isn't it mad?
That takes me back to the video last year. Good old Japanese TV. I'd love to hear some stories of if you guys have ever run into any celebrities. Have we had any? We've had the guy whose dad ran into Steven Spielberg in a train.
That's right, yes, in Japan, yeah. I guess gaijins sort of stick out so hard that you wouldn't necessarily differentiate that. Oh, it's just another white guy, and it's like, is that Steven Spielberg? That's really weird. But in a lot of bars, like when bands obviously play, you know, Osaka or Tokyo, a lot of like rock bars and stuff, they'll have those little weird sort of square white pieces of card that people sign. I noticed when Joy the Anime Man and the snack, what's their show, Snack something or other.
Snack Taste.
They went to an anime shop or a manga shop or a, you know, a little figurine shop. Oh dear, it's early for me. And they got little the owner of the shop came over and got them to sign like a little card saying Joy the Anime Man and the team have been here in the anime shop, because obviously it was in Akihabara, so yeah, you know, yeah. We be little Westerners like me, coming and going, oh, I'm gonna buy a figurine with big boobies. Have a cry about it.
I mean, I think even on Trash Taste they do that the cardboard thing, because I had to sign something for them that's in the background. Yeah, I don't know what they're called. Those, I don't know if there's a special name for them. Like in Japan, you just say sign. For an autograph, you can sign on a guy's mask. Can mean like autograph.
Yeah.
I think I've only had to do it once or twice. And it just felt ridiculous, because we went to a restaurant, I think I was with Ryotaro, and he started talking to the shopkeeper, and he was like, well, what do you do? And Ryotaro was like, we're YouTubers, and this is Chris, and he does this. And he's like, wow, famous. And like, they were like, please sign this. I didn't know who I was or what I did or anything. They were just like, please sign it, yeah. And they stuck it up on the wall. So there you
Lovely.
Go.
There you go.
It feels very superficial.
You should put a little map of Japan of where your signatures can be found. Your heat map, so to speak. I remember when I co-wrote a book about football with the Football Ramble podcast. We obviously had to tour it and sell sell copies at the actual gigs themselves. And because we're just, it's after the gig, we do a gig, everyone's a bit pissed up, and we sit there and we sign the books and stuff. But what made me giggle was that I just spent all of the time just using it to pick on the other members of the Ramble by just going, Marcus is a villain, Luke is a dickhead, writing in people's books that people have spent 20 quid on. Terribly disrespectful.
That was so counterproductive. What a terrible member of the Football Ramble. Sabotaging your own book sales, Pete. That is ridiculous.
Bloody. I know.
I'm still waiting on my Football Ramble book, even though I don't know what football is. This week's news story. The Japanese government has started vaccinating finally after a billion years of not vaccinating. I mean, the whole vaccine debate, I didn't know, but in Japan, people really don't like vaccines, like at all. Mm. There seems to be a lot of scepticism around vaccines. Now, a friend of mine told me why it was the other day, and I have to take it with a pinch of salt because I haven't read it up and I need to factually check it. But he said that Japan was once the cutting edge of vaccines, was always ahead of the pack, and they were always trying to develop really new vaccines in different ways. But then a few of them sort of backfired and they didn't work out too well in the 90s. And then that led to some highly publicised events in the media. And then everyone thought, oh, vaccines equals bad. So kind of victims of their own success. Now in Japan, if you do die, if you have a vaccine, God forbid, the government will give your family 44 million yen, about $400,000. What do you reckon on that, Pete?
Wow. I mean, it's like, I'm trying to buy a house at the moment, and that would be really useful. But if I have to die to get it, it's not the most intelligent, clever idea to do. But yeah, I realise like a lot of people on Twitter and online and stuff are really sort of, let's hurry up and die, let's get die. But I guess there's and if you get maimed by it or rendered unable to work, I think you get a lot less money. But look, it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult when there's been such high publicised cases about vaccines going wrong. One would argue that this is the biggest rollout of a vaccine that's ever happened. And if it was going wrong, it probably would have already gone wrong because there's just so many people taking it.
Yeah, I mean, so many people have had it. In fact, all my family have now had it, which is a weight off my shoulders. Hey. My mum, my dad, my nan, my gran, they've all had it. So I'm feeling pretty damn happy about that.
Congratulations,
difficult
mate.
Topic. Yeah, I was pretty happy when they told me they'd done it. They'd even, my dad didn't even tell me he'd had it. I was like, he's had it. So I was really bloody happy about that because he had heart problems last year and whatnot. And so that could have been a right bloody nightmare. But this whole vaccine thing, it surprised me how many people close to me are, I don't know if they're anti-vaccine, but vaccine sceptic. And that's really shocked me, I guess, because I've just always been like, oh, vaccines are good. I realise that maybe there are some vaccines that have had some problems over the years, but I've never really questioned it. But even Natsuki was like, what do you think of the vaccine? And I discovered that vaccine in Japanese is wakachin. Wakachin.
Wakachin, like a capuchin monkey.
Yes, yeah. And he was like, have you had the whack chin? And I was like, what? What's that? And I don't know how I've gone this long without knowing what the Japanese word for vaccine is. But yeah, whack chin. So
I'm enjoying it.
And I think it's because it comes from the German word for vaccine. Correct me if I'm wrong. Even he was like, oh, are you going to get it? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, oh, I don't know. Because again, in the Japanese media, it's like, oh, very scary, the old vaccine. And I guess there's a less pressing need for it here to some extent because the rate of deaths has been phenomenally low compared to the West. But again, they are trying to do the Olympics, so you think they'd be a bit more proactive. But they are starting now.
Yeah, you'd certainly hope so, wouldn't you?
I think it started on Wednesday, so onwards and upwards. Will it save the Olympics? I don't know, probably not. I feel like the Olympics is just going to be... I think what will happen is all the sports folks will come, but they won't have any foreign spectators. That's my hypothesis.
I think that's probably going to be the case, and certainly that's how football or soccer has managed to sort of go thus far. So hopefully we'll be able to, we'll be able to they'll be able to run the Olympics. But if the Japanese aren't getting vaccinated, you can't really have people from foreign countries coming in, can you?
It's going to be all sorts of complicated, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens as it progresses. I just hope the day will one day come when we can do a Abroad in Japan podcast live, as we've always dreamed, or as I've always dreamed. I mean, what's it like having done it for the Football Ramble?
What, as in like doing big shows? Don't do it on FA Cup final day, because people get absolutely trolleyed.
Oh God! I'd love to do it. We'll get you over. We'll get Ryotaro down. We'll get Natsuki down. Get a big stadium. Maybe that's a bit ambitious. We'll get a shed in Yokohama.
Get one of the Kurikan Hall. We'll do it there.
Perfect, perfect. God knows what we would do. Open to ideas. Let us know what you want to see. We're going to take a quick ad break, and then we're back with the fax machine.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week at Sukarnov.
On the Luke and Pete Show, Luke introduced me to some bizarre animal warfare.
In the 70s, there was a... I can't remember going to say this, but I promise you it's true. There was a war, an actual war, between rival chimpanzee clans that went on for over 4 years.
Meanwhile, on Abroad in Japan, Chris is facing off against a natural disaster.
So the same day that I'd run out of fuel, right, I was like, well, I made it in one piece. Thank you, God. And then, like, 5 hours later, the worst earthquake I've ever experienced. It was a 15-storey building shaking from side to side. It went on so long, I was like, this hotel's coming down, and I don't want to be in it when it does.
Listen to Abroad in Japan and the Luke and Pete Show, available on your favourite podcast player.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
And now, it's time for the fax machine. What have we got in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson? Is there anything?
Why do you find the fax machine so humorous? Dear Chris San and Lord Pete, correct. Recently, when I was listening to the podcast, there was this girl that tried to use Tinder in Japan and was met by men who tried to sell her bitcoins. I have to concur with this experience. When I was in Tokyo for a month in 2019, I had a really lousy match rate, as always. Oh, come on. Is it Cal? Cal? Cal?
It is, yeah. Cal?
Yeah, they were. It seems it's very uncommon for ladies to show their face on Tinder in Japan because they would lose their face. Being Taiwanese, they were always Taiwanese and really beautiful and obviously fake ones. Sometimes the women would chat for 10 to 20 replies before dropping the Bitcoin or stock scam. Very unpleasant, but quite obvious when you get used to it. Can you smell a Bitcoin scam coming early on?
Oh, God.
I would also add that I'm not picky with who I like, but in Japan, or at least in Tokyo, no one shows their face. There are always pictures of Disney World, food, or from abroad. Then the things I can barely read in Japanese are not helping. So I was liking almost everyone. As said before, the match rate on real actual people was really low, maybe 15 in the whole month. Over half talked once or twice and never replied. Three kept talking quite long, and one even agreed to go for a coffee. We had a nice cup of coffee and food in a sober place in Ueno. Though she replied always after 2 to 3 days and said that she was always busy, so I gave up on that one. I tried multiple different tactics, like in the bio. I mostly had English and part in Japanese. Then I tried it all in Japanese. Then that didn't work. I tried adding things that Asians like to know. Good Lord. Like blood type and my Chinese sign. No help there. On photos, I tried to add really Finnish pictures like Aurora, reindeers, huskies, etc. When that did not work, I changed to pictures of other countries and Tokyo. A last ditch effort, I even made pictures in Japanese arcade that beautify your face. And nope, that does not seem to work either. One of those, an attachment, enjoy and keep on doing a fantastic job with the podcast and videos. I mean, Kale or Kale, it's a chilling picture. You have to say you're a good looking chap, but that beautified picture in one of those machines, absolutely extremely dreadful.
Pedicura, if you want to ruin anything about your face in one quick way, pedicura machines are the way to do it. They just like blow your, they make your skin look like just pure white. They just, I don't know, it takes any character out of your face and makes you look a bit alien, doesn't it, the old pedicure machines?
Yeah. They are fun though, but they're only supposed to be used by young women, and you really just feel weird sort of sneaking in there and taking a picture with your friends.
I mean, it's,
it's not right.
The old Tinder topic always comes up. We've got another follow-up story, actually another Tinder story straight after this one, but I don't know. I do know a friend who had some success in the sense that he just met lots of interesting people and got shown around Tokyo. But it can also go wrong. I remember I did try it, and you know, years ago, and it didn't go anywhere. Just a few people spoke to me, but then they sort of ended. And he's right though. Like, for some reason, people in Japan on Tinder, they don't show their face. I don't know why. But they have like the most weird like descriptions, like I like salmon and SeaWorld. Like, I think that was, there was one girl who was like, whose description was, hello, my name is Yuka, I like SeaWorld and fishing, or something like that. It was ridiculous. It was just like
SeaWorld, sausages and salmon.
It's all the S's.
Just like all the S's.
It's just like
beers,
perfect.
Bears, beets.
What are you expecting though? If you don't write a good bio and you don't show your face, your success rate ain't going to happen, is it?
I think a lot of, obviously it is a saving face sort of thing, but yeah, it is difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to sort of, when you feel like people are, you're being watched effectively, it's kind of difficult to put yourself out there. But that's what internet dating is, I suppose. That's why people get involved. But mate, like, look, to our emailer, it's just, you just have to meet someone in real life, IRL, aren't you? You're just going to have to, you know, meet someone in a bar or something.
Well,
real life.
Well, unfortunately, Carl didn't have much success. We do have a nice story here of dating that went well. It's from Daniel and Ayumi. Hi, Chris and Pete. My experience with using Tinder in Japan is relatively mild, but it confirms that it is a viable way to find love as a foreigner in Japan. I had an opportunity to work in Yokosuka for several months in 2018, just outside of Tokyo, and I decided to give Tinder a try, not expecting anything other than maybe an awkward date or an interesting story to tell, especially given that at the time I didn't speak a word of Japanese. I ended up talking with many locals, but only ever went on dates with two. The first was a nice but eccentric woman named Kana. Unlike many Japanese, she was very outspoken and direct, and we went on a handful of dates wherein we mostly ate food while she told me stories of her travels abroad and took innumerable selfies of us together, as if we were already a couple. She was very nice, but I felt a bit overwhelmed by her and wasn't really feeling the connection. Simultaneously, I started going on dates with another girl called Ayu. We decided to meet in Asakusa for our first date near the Sensoji Temple, which was a mistake in hindsight. I couldn't find her for several minutes as we frantically texted backwards and forwards trying to discern the other locations. And when we finally did meet, she barely spoke a word of English. We had been messaging each other in English, so I was a bit taken aback and started to assume that she'd been using a translator. We awkwardly walked around the main tourist areas while I tried my best to communicate. The date was rather humdrum, and I anticipated we would stop messaging each other afterwards. To my surprise, afterwards she told me she had a good time. When I questioned whether she didn't speak much English, she told me she was shy and that she would try more. By the time we went on our second date, she was speaking English with near fluency. To make an already long story short, we continued dating until my work trip was finished and we decided we would try to make things work. Several additional work trips later and personal trips back and forth from Japan have led us to where we are now, married and soon to be living together in Yokohama.
Hey.
Maybe we'll see you around at your next meetup. Cheers from Daniel and Ayumi. Hey, now that.
Yay, that's
story.
A good news. That's a lovely good news story to end the podcast. Very enjoyable.
Moral of the story, never give up. Keep using Tinder.
Yeah.
Never know what
Stay out of those blooming machines that make you look like a weirdo.
Avoid Pirikira, do Tinder, and live happily ever after. And hopefully we'll meet them at the Abroad in Japan podcast meetup live of Super Duper event that will happen in a billion years.
I love that you're into this new live aspect to your career. I'm enjoying the fact that you want to do a live show with old Donny, you know, Man in the Ones and Twos, little DJ set maybe. I don't know.
Well, you're going to be handing
like
out the drinks in the court. You're going to be doing the bar. And I'll be on the big stage with Natsuki and Ryotaro.
Every drink.
Ryotaro will be doing Shoeshine GT. It's going to be an event to remember in my imagination. It's going to be great.
Shoeshines and drinks.
Keep the stories, questions coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it all over again on Sunday. For now, guys, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, enjoy what's left of the week and keep an eye out for the video about Kyoto, which should be coming out in the next few days, God forbid. But for now, have a good one.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook?
And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.